Doing well, boys. Thanks for having me, like always. I appreciate it.
So the start of preseason, the bag skate, was that the day that you shined the most?
Oh, yeah, that was the worst day of the season is the first day is medical day when you got to come in. You have to get up at whatever 6 a.m. You can't eat breakfast because you got to get all your blood tests done and you get all your eye exams. You get your full physical and then you have fitness testing after that. It's the worst day of the year. As soon as you get past the first day of training camp, besides the bag skates, like you said, it's all downhill from there. But that first day of training camp, I don't miss that at all. It's the worst day of the year.
Obi, Jake Virtanen got ripped for his conditioning. He had Travis Green mentioned as well that they had goals in the offseason. He didn't meet him. Can you relate to that? Was there a one camp that you just came in saying, yeah, I know I'm in trouble?
I mean, the one year in Tampa when Len Barry and Orrin Cools bought the team, they traded away every defenseman we had. They traded Dan Boyle. They traded a few other guys. They signed a bunch of forwards. So, I thought I was just going to step right in there and be a top four guy. And I'm not going to say I wasn't in shape, but I probably didn't work as hard as I should have down the stretch in August and into early September when it really matters. And sure enough, next thing I know, I'm on a plane to Vancouver, which ended up working out great. I love Vancouver, obviously, but that was probably the one camp that I didn't really buckle down the last 2 or 3 weeks and probably get that, 5 or 6, 7 last pounds off. And it hurt me a little bit during camp.
Is the protocol to fast, maybe get into a sauna for a few days before training camp? What do you do?
You boys, my daily routine with the Vancouver Canucks was I had to weigh in every day. AV made me weigh in every day. So Roger Takahashi, our strength guy, was a great guy, but I had to weigh in every day. So I would show up, I'd go sit in the sauna for 15 or 20 minutes. I would get on the bike a bit, and then I would weigh in, and I would be whatever, 233 for 3 seconds, and I would go drink something. I'd be back up to 237. But for me, at the end of the summer and into the start of September, I would always go for a run or ride the bike after dinner. Just to help me get those last, 5 or 6, 7 pounds off for training camp and get my body fat down. And, a lot of people don't realize for bigger guys, it's not easy to get down to where the coaches think you should be and where they want you to be. And it's hard work, but hey, you're making lots of money. It's your job and you got to do it.
Yeah. And Jake Virtanen is kind of going through that right now as well. He played back-to-back games after being called out in the media last week by his coach a little bit as well. Looking back, and Dan mentioned Travis Green's kind of famous for his hard practices, the bag skate. Who's that one coach, looking back at your career, that just had the toughest practices, that made life difficult for you and the other players?
Well, Tortorella's camp was really hard. But, Torch was, it was only probably the 3 or 4 first days where Torch really gave it to you. And then he really tampered you off. And Torch was good with his days off. But the one that just never made sense to me, and as you guys know, I'm not a big fan of this guy, was Bob Hartley's training camp and his practices. He's the type of guy that would give you a day off on Monday, but bring you in Tuesday and just skate you right through the ice or the ground or whatever you want to call it. So it's almost like you didn't want your day off because you knew coming in the next day that you're going to leave the rink hurting. So I think Greener's a good coach, a good pro, that he'll work these guys hard. And I know throughout the season, he likes to give them those days off. And I think that's really important for players.
Shane O'Brien, our guest. So the Canucks get Brock Besser done the other day, and it seems as though both sides are pretty happy with the number. Besser still has to prove himself a little bit. Canucks get him in at camp. Your thoughts on the deal and, the thought that maybe the Canucks weren't sold on Besser as an $8+ million player just yet.
Yeah, I think you nailed it right on the head. I think it's a good deal for both sides. I think Besser obviously probably wanted a longer-term deal, but, he's got 3 years to prove himself. Who knows what the salary cap will be in 3 years for him? It's obviously going to go up. It could pay off for him in 3 years. It'll get an even bigger contract than he would have right now. And like you said, for the Canucks, I don't know if they're completely sold that, like you said, he's an $8 million guy. He's a great player with a world-class release. I like the way his game came around last year. His playmaking got a lot better. I think that's only going to get better. I think he plays hard. And like I said, he's a right shot that can score goals. And anytime you can have guys on your team at that age, it's a good thing. But I think it's a fair deal for both sides. And I don't mind these bridge deals for these young guys. Make them earn it a little bit more.
Vancouver's rejoicing right now. Brock Besser hit the ice today as well. So everybody's happy. But from a player's point of view, and you understand why the team does it, because you still want to see more of the player. What's the mentality for the player, though? Because in a way, you're still making your money. He's still a rich man. In the short term, How do you feel that the team maybe wasn't trying to get to that figure that your agent wanted long term? Do you have a chip on your shoulder as a result?
I mean, I think it's not like he signed a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
If you would have signed maybe a 1-year deal or whatever, then you really have a chip on your shoulder. For a guy, pretty much my whole career, all I signed was 1 and 2 year deals. You can never really get too comfortable. You got to continue to work and continue to prove yourself. But for Brock, he's a world class player. The sky's the limit for the kid. It's a nice 3-year deal for him. Like you said, he's going to be able to keep the lights on in his condo for a while now. So everything's going to be good on that front. But just enjoy it. You got 3 years to make yourself a world-class player in the NHL, and then you'll get your real big ticket. And if it's in Vancouver, it's in Vancouver. If it's wherever he wants to be, it's wherever he wants to be. But I think he should be happy and enjoy the city and enjoy his 3 years in Vancouver.
Yeah, and the Canucks really wanted to get him into camp, knowing how big a year this is for them, with all the additions they made this offseason. Travis wanted him in camp. You want to get that power play humming as much as you can going into the season. There's not going to be a lot of room for error in a tough Western Conference, so the Canucks need everybody available and ready to go for night one. Now, when it comes to, there's not a huge sample size of what we've seen so far, but last night you get a little bit of Tyler Myers, you get a little bit of Quinn Hughes, and Michael Ferland as well. Liked a lot of his game, a lot of nuances that you get to see watching him live, more so than you would watching him from afar. What did you like about the newcomers, and which one of them stood out most?
Yeah, for me, it was Ferland. Obviously, I've been a big fan of this kid since, we were talking a couple months ago about the Canucks signing him. He's been through a lot of stuff off the ice. He's a character guy now. And you just seen the way he played last night. He's physical. He has offensive ability. He can skate. He back checks hard. He tracks the puck hard. He plays a 200-foot game. And for me, that's what it's all about. And the second guy for me was Myers. Just seeing the big 57 out there, the big right shot. He's a presence. He's a presence that the Canucks didn't have on their blue line last year. And I know it's preseason. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. But I just thought there was a different feel watching the game, a little bit maybe more excitement. And I think people in Vancouver should be really excited for the start of the season.
Obi, there's a lot of people in this city that, their last long-sustained look at Michael Ferland was probably that playoff series against the Canucks, where they haven't seen maybe that much of him really since then. What stood out to me was his intelligence as well. He's a smart player. He's not just that big bruiser that you saw back in the day playing on that team. You're a former teammate of his as well. Can you speak to a little bit about that smarts and just that hockey sense that he has? Because watching him live in person yesterday, you really picked that up as him being a smart, intelligent player, especially that Pettersson goal that he ended up setting up.
Yeah, and I think that's just come with growth. And I remember that series of Flames against the Canucks. Ferland was one of the reasons why, Calgary ended up winning that series. He was just out there running around like kind of being maybe more of a meathead than he is now. I think he's mature. I think the game's changed even since then. I think he knows how to play on the edge without crossing over the edge. Time will tell on that one. But, like you said, on the Pettersson goal, he's got good skill. He can make plays. He can skate. He can shoot. And he's physical. He's got that old school pro in him. And that's what I love. And I know the fans in Vancouver are going to really like this kid.
Yeah, he really stood out. Even just his movement off the puck last night, creating space in different ways for Elias Pettersson. I think that's going to be a good little partnership there. Some people would say, hey, you need more skill with Pettersson, but it doesn't hurt to have a guy that can create space for him with his physicality as well in Ferland. And did you see that last night?
And let's not forget with Ferland playing on Pettersson's line here. You guys are not going to be taking as many runs at him. I know it's not the way it used to be, but still, he got hit a couple times last year. Now if that happens, Ferland's right there, right beside him if something goes down. So guys on their team are going to know when Ferland's on the ice playing, especially if they're playing on Petey's line. And I think it's going to give him more room. I think it's a good start to what could be a really good line for the Canucks and could be a win-win for both those guys.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Shane O'Brien, as we are every Wednesday. Shane, across the NHL, Patrick Laine made some news over the last 24 hours, essentially saying he wants to be with better line mates. He wants to play with Scheifele and Wheeler. Your thoughts on those comments and some of the shade he, indirectly threw at some of his teammates?
Yeah, I heard his comments and I read Wheeler's comments. And what Wheeler said as a captain, he likes that the kid wants more ice time and wants to be with better players. We all want that. As a player, as an ex-player, you want to be out there as much as you can and put with the best players. You know, I think the kid needs to work on his 5-on-5 game a bit. Obviously, on the power play with his shot, it's ridiculous. Obviously, Winnipeg needs him back for their power play. But I think that kid's 5-on-5, his foot speed, stuff like that needs to get a little bit better. And I think it will as he matures. But, hey, you know, he wants to play on the top line. You can't blame the kid. He's a second overall pick or whatever he was. So I think he just needs to work on his 5-on-5 game a bit more.
The other story out of Winnipeg, Dustin Byfuglien reportedly pondering his career right now, and for Big Buff, you know, he's had his injuries. We know he's a big fella, still playing at a high level. What do you think? Maybe just the grind of the game coming after a guy that's really put his body on the line for years?
Yeah, you know what? I just obviously the news just broke in the last couple of days, so I was actually thinking about reaching out to myself just to see if he's doing okay mentally, but. You know, hopefully Big Buff's okay. Like you said, he's a big guy. For him to play the game nowadays, he probably has to put in a lot of work in the off season. I'm not saying that's the reason why he doesn't want to play anymore, but it takes a lot to play the game at that high of a level when you're that high, that big of a guy, and you get that much ice time and that much responsibility. So I just hope he's doing good mentally and physically. If he's just not quite ready, maybe it'll take some time. But I hope he continues to play because he can still play, and I think he's good for the NHL.
Yeah, it's something I think we overlook with power forwards or big defensemen is that they dish out a lot, but they absorb a lot of hits and physicality as well. And you wonder if maybe Dustin Byfuglien's going through the same thing on the Toronto side of things, because the last time we talked to you, Mitch Marner hadn't signed his deal, ends up getting just under $11 million. My question to you, Obi, is when four guys on your team are making a total of $40 million per season, can you still be a complete team? Can you be a good team? What do you think? What are your thoughts on the way the Toronto Maple Leafs are now built?
Yeah, I mean, I think they had to pay. They had to give Marner his money. I think the mistake they made was with Nylander last year. You know, maybe that kid will go to prove me wrong this year, but that was the one guy I think they could have maybe not gave that big ticket to, and could have helped out their salary cap problem and have that much money wrapped up in that many guys. But you know, their core's together, and everyone talks in the new NHL about having your core together. And they're obviously not going to fight over the bill who's paying for dinner there, because they're all making really good money. So time will tell. We'll see if their depth can continue and if they can stay under the cap. But for me, the Nylander deal was the one that kind of put them behind the eight ball.
I wonder if it's going to cause any kind of a rift in the room, because the way the Leafs salary is structured, it's like you're either making $10 million or you're making under $1 million right now, at least. That's the way it feels.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously the big boys are going to have to take care of the team dinners on the road, because, like you said, there's a big gap in the big boys and the rest of the guys that are making $1 million or less. So, I mean, that's just kind of the way the new NHL is. Not to that extreme, obviously, but the big boys get their money, and the rest of the guys just kind of fall in where they can and try to play as long as they can. But it'll be interesting to see what happens in Toronto. They got a lot of big personalities now making a lot of money, and we'll see how Babs handles it.
One last thing before we let you go. You got any good battle stories with Buff?
Oh, big Buff. I battled Buff a lot. Yeah. The one time in playoffs, he came in and he was bumping the long wall series, and I finally just had enough, and I gave him one cross check and I gave him another one. And I probably knew I shouldn't have given that third one, but I just went ahead and gave him that third one. And sure enough, I got the minor penalty, and the next day I was in Mike's office and he was ripping me about staying under control. And I just said to Mike, I said, this guy continues to do whatever he wants in our building and bump the Longo, and I just had enough. So we had some good battles in the playoffs. He was such a big man. He would never really want to drop the gloves, but that kind of worked to his benefit. But that was the one battle where I let him get under my skin, and it ended up costing me. I think we scored in the power play anyways, and it probably didn't help us win the game.
Oh, man, he's just a load out there.
He was a load out there. It wasn't even fair how good his hands were. He could skate. The thing that gets me with Buff is how well he moves side to side and how he skates for such a big man. He's a freak athlete if you really think about it.
Obi, always appreciate the time, man. Thank you. We'll talk next week.
Boys, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sportsnet 650.